Coming up on this week's episode, Blue Origin takes to the sky, Tesla raises some money, and where in the world is Tim Dodd? Let's get ludicrous. Hi, and welcome to Our Ludicrous Future. This is the podcast where we talk about all the cool technological, science-y stuff that's happening today that's going to make our future totally ludicrous. I am Joe Scott with the Answers with Joe YouTube channel, and with me is Tim Dodd.
Yeah, hey, it's me, Tim Dodd, that guy. And also, we have Benjamin Solins.
What's up, guys? It's Ben Solins from Teslanomics. Benjamin, say it right, Benjamin.
Oh, Benjamin.
Benha, as my friends call it. Benha, because Ben means, like, come here, so.
Means what? Premiere?
Come here. Like, Ben, Benaki, come here.
Oh, conmigo.
It's a Spanish lesson for the day. We could do that every week if you guys let us know. Leave a comment.
Spanish
if you guys
want a Spanish
lesson. Our ludicrous Spanish lesson.
How do you say sounds ludicrous in Spanish? Wow.
Ludicroso.
Probably.
Maybe.
Loco.
That's Texas Spanish. You just add an O to the end of every word and you're done. It's
Nuestra futura de locura. No sé.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I was doing my little intro, I'm looking at Ben and his mouth is moving and I'm not hearing anything and I'm like, is your microphone not working? What's going on? Why are you talking over me? It was very confusing.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for a couple episodes where I lip your intro. Have you not noticed that?
Yeah.
And
no.
I think Ben obviously is now too. Yeah, we're just making funny over here, remember? Because we're
I'm doing
just
work.
Not buds.
That's why I don't see it.
I'm busy
this is
working,
work.
Guys.
Yeah.
I'm busy working.
Work.
That's like, hey, honey, I got to go to work. No, you don't. You're just going to go hop on a phone call with your friends. Like, oh. Yeah.
My wife being a teacher, I don't get to ever complain about anything.
So what do we have
speaking
today,
of work,
guys?
Speaking of work, hey, Blue Origin's doing some work. They did some work just this morning.
They did.
Kind of.
Yes,
yeah, I don't know. Is it really work when it just goes up and down? Because isn't, like, the definition of work, like, you have to, well, I guess you have to move something, like, physically. Like, that's work. I guess so they moved stuff. But they're not putting anything in orbit.
They moved 38 experiments.
They moved 38 experiments straight up and straight back down. And it was great.
Was it tethered this time? Was it on a tether, or did it do its own thing?
No. I love Joe. They're bad. Like, I love you, and I love that you have these questions, because it lets us answer. What Blue Origin is currently flying, the only thing they're flying is their new Shepard, which is the most phallic rocket in existence today.
That's why I was laughing, because you're like talking about the most phallic rocket just going up and down, moving. I'm like, and that's not work. I'm like, oh, God. It's going south.
No, all that rocket does, that rocket's only existence is to go up, kiss the edge of space, the Kármán line, just barely cross over it, like by a couple thousand meters, and then fall back down. And it detaches the crew module, lands on parachutes nice and safe and reliable and all that stuff. And the booster that takes it up there, liquid fuel, does propulsively land a lot like SpaceX. And they actually did that before SpaceX. But we don't need to get into the differences. I mean, the size of that new Shepard booster is only about the size of the landing leg of Falcon 9. So it's a teeny tiny little rocket. You know, it's just a little baby guy. But yeah, that was the 11th flight this morning for them, which is fun. Like, I like this thing, but I'm ready for them to put people on it. What are they doing?
So, yeah. So explain it.
Flights?
So it goes up and shoots the top off, and then they land with the parachute, you said?
Yes. That's correct. And they do that because it's very safe and reliable. And I know Ben's going to lose it.
I think he's been around his child too long. He's turning into one.
He is losing
it. The innuendo just continues.
Yeah, yeah.
We so lost Ben. He's out of commission.
It goes up.
I need to see this. I'm going to look this up.
You've seen it. I guarantee you've seen it. It's... Anyway, this was the 11th flight, and they are, their motto is, what is it again, Joe?
Gratium ferociter. Yeah.
Yeah, which means like step by step ferociously.
Yeah.
Which is basically like this company's going to go really, 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 really slow. They're like the slowest company ever, but they just want to do things right. And so far, they have an amazing track record, like flawless track record, really, so far in what they've been doing in spaceflight. But it's a little bit frustrating because I'm like, you've flown this thing 11 times. Get people on it. Like, that's its job, is to put people on. You get 4 minutes of weightlessness. But today they flew 38 science experiments for 4 minutes of microgravity, which we were kind of talking about this before the show. What exactly do you do in 4 minutes of microgravity that hasn't been done before? And 38
of them. For some of us, 4 minutes is a long time.
Ben again.
God, let's just sit here, Ben, for 4 minutes silently.
So what do you guys think? Like, what could there possibly be these days, like, for a 4 minute long microgravity experiment? What would you come up with, or what do you think is valuable that we haven't already done on like the ISS and all that stuff? Like, I know there's some, like, you know, like checking out like how collisions work and stuff, that, you know, you only need like 10 seconds or something, but I actually have a hard time like trying to figure out why 38 of them went up that needed to go up.
I'm curious about that too. I would love to see a list of the experiments and see what's on it. Maybe we're talking out of our butts.
38 little plush toy things that are floating around.
Yeah.
Right. Well, for instance, I do have the thing pulled up. Here's some things they talk about. Like, orbital medicine is like they're doing. They're demonstrating experimental medical technology designed to treat collapsed lung in zero gravity. Like, that's pretty cool. New Century Technology High School, group of students from Huntsville. Designed an experiment to test temperature fluctuations in microgravity. MIT did a Media Lab space exploration initiative. But a lot of the stuff, like, I just don't get. What? Like, have we not
studied? The application of it, right?
Yeah, like, have we not studied temperature gradients in microgravity already? Is that not something that we know?
Modeled? What is microgravity? Can you just explain what is microgravity versus, say, the ISS, whatever type of gravity that has?
It's the same thing, right?
It's essentially the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's essentially the same thing. The difference is, you know, so all you're doing is like while you're in your parabolic flight. So if you, you know, throw something really high up, there's going to be a while where it's just like, you know, it's not experiencing any change in acceleration. So there's not, you know, something pushing on it and altering it, giving it like the force of, you know, you don't feel the force of anything. You're just falling, basically. And even when you're coasting up, you're experiencing weightlessness because your environment around you is also coasting up. You know what I mean? There's no...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there... I thought this was more of just a tourism kind of thing. Or no, that's...
It is.
Eventually, that's the plan, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's why I keep saying, put people on this thing. Like, it's got to be coming this year. It's got to be coming this year. And maybe we'll find out more...
I keep hearing by the end of the year, yeah.
And maybe we'll learn more next week, actually. Because next week, I will be out in D.C. to see Mr. Jeff Bezos, who owns Blue Origin, talk about their future of exploration, whatever that is. My bets are they had a tweet with a picture of an old ship in like ice.
Shackleton voyage.
Shackleton, exactly. And there's Shackleton crater on the moon, which is on the South Pole, which is kind of a hot topic right now. So people are speculating that, you know, they must be talking about plans to go to the South Pole of the moon. Which, can you imagine if they're like, look, we are, you know, because they have the New Glenn booster is huge. I mean, this thing is almost the size of a Saturn V. It's massive. It's 7 meters wide. That makes, you know, that's almost as wide as the Falcon Heavy is. Well, not quite. The Falcon Heavy is about 12 meters wide. With all three cores, but each core of the Falcon Heavy or Falcon 9 is 3.7 meters. So this is twice as wide as that, significantly taller. Like, the first stage of New Glenn is almost as tall as both stages of Falcon Heavy and Falcon 9. Like, it is a huge, huge vehicle. Mm. And I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden it was like, hey, we have this whole architecture and we're going to be landing on the moon in like 3 years or something. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I keep saying Blue Origin's got something up their sleeve that we don't know about. Go ahead.
I was going to say, they even tease. So their naming scheme is New Shepard, which is suborbital flights, like Alan Shepard, the first American to do a suborbital flight. Then New Glenn for John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth. And then they keep teasing, or they've teased only maybe two times, New Armstrong, which obviously is the first person to land on to walk on the moon. So people keep speculating that that's going to be like their behemoth of a rocket that's just like so beyond next level. Might make BFR and Starship, SpaceX's Starship look like a joke even. So we might actually be seeing an era of like the billionaires making monster rockets.
I am excited for it. I mean, that's like, what if they announce the new Armstrong or you know, get some details on that? That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And when they start making reusable ones, they'll call it the new Musk.
Well, so the joke that people say is that when Blue Origin gets their Mars rocket off the ground, it's going to be called the new Musk because Elon Musk will have already been there. But that's like,
it just sounds fanboy
joking.
New Musk.
I think I had that in seventh grade. I wore it to the prom.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah,
the chicks
no,
loved
but
it.
I'm of course bod at, or axe bod sprayer. Do you guys remember
the
that
axe
stuff?
Body spray? Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, bod. Yeah, I remember that.
Bod. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Those commercials. Yeah. I want your bod.
I want your bod. It worked.
Wow, that really got stuck in my head, didn't it? Okay.
Were you on that commercial?
I was. Oh. Joe was. Joe one. Was the 32-year-old teacher in those commercials because, you know, back in 92 when those commercials were out, he was 32.
Yeah, I was 32 for about 20 years.
Oh. Ooh, burn, burn. Anyway, so I'm sorry. I'm just trying to really keep the, you know, making fun of each other thing alive. But, yeah. Anyway, new Armstrong, we might get a tease of that next week. So next week I will report. We'll probably have to record on Friday, the day after the event, so we can talk all about it. Because it might be a big event. Blue Origin's never really done an event like this. And so yeah. I'm really excited about that because, yeah, maybe they're going to do a presentation like how Elon does his, like the ones that IAC he did 2 years in a row. And then the Dear Moon thing, you know, where they do a presentation updating you with where they're at and their goals and ambitions. I would love if that's what this is. That would set a new precedence. Like, that'd be really cool if that's just the new thing that rocket companies and aerospace companies do. It's like, hey, here's what we're aiming for in 5 years. Like, here's our progress. Like, a yearly update. That would be freaking awesome.
Do you think there's any significance to them doing it in DC?
Space Force.
Space
well,
Force.
I mean, Bezos and Trump are not exactly friends. I'm wondering if this is a little bit of genital wagging or something, you know, like is
oh. yeah like that Saturday Night Live skit.
I didn't really think of it too much, you know, being in DC, but yeah, you're right, that might be something.
I was just wondering why they wouldn't do it at their facility at KSC or I don't know, I'm just
Washington,
curious
where their headquarters is, or their new, they have a new engine manufacturing facility in Huntsville, basically. Like, they have places, mm-hmm. and I'm surprised they didn't do it at any one of those places.
Yeah, that's just got me wondering.
Are they doing it at the Trump Hotel there in D.C.?
Just right outside the front door. Well, I mean, it might be that. It might
Amazon
be that
Prime
they
Hotel.
are I don't know. Like, I want to say pairing with NASA on something, but then even then, wouldn't they do it at NASA headquarters? Like, why D.C.? It just seems like, well, they're trying to make some kind of statement there, and I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't know.
Technically, NASA headquarters is in D.C., but not at the convention center. Yeah, this is just like a convention center thing. So,
okay.
It is.
I didn't know.
But who knows, though? Really, who knows?
Yeah.
I'll find out, and we'll talk all about it next week. Hopefully it's something exciting and not just like, we're going to put a person on our new Shepard at the end of the year. Like, yeah, we assume that.
Yeah.
Here's what it's going to look like. They just show us all 11 flights, 20 minutes each. Like, here's what this one will look like. Yeah, we know.
You know, it's hard for some companies to understand. Like, I think when you're working on something and you're making something, you get so pumped on all the details. And sometimes you, like, have this big deal about it and no one cares about any of those things, right? It's just like the outcome of, like, a four-hour thing is like, oh, this one little quip or whatever. Like Mercedes, you know, with their electric car thing had – literally two full days, 8-hour days of technicians explaining to the press about all the, like, how everything worked. And in the end, the all the reporters like, so how much is it going to cost? What's the range? What's the performance like? When will it be available? They didn't answer any of those questions. And all the press was pissed. They were like, I was literally here for 3 days and you didn't give me like the three things I cared about. Like, this is so dumb. Right? But they were just so pumped on their engineering that they like thought everyone else cared and they were wrong. So hopefully this isn't that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm totally pro Blue Origin. I want to see them do great things, and I'm excited about what kind of stuff they've got going on. But I got up early enough to watch the not that it was that early, but to watch the New Shepard flight this morning, and it always kind of cracks me up. I mean, I love the enthusiasm that their announcer has, but it, like you say, it's like this little suborbital hop, and she's like, "Look at this beautiful arc, and it's doing this amazing thing to the perfect landing," and I'm like, okay, calm down.
She's like the Steve Ballmer of tech presentations or something.
Yeah. She's like super just over the top excited. And I'm like, okay, no, it's be happy. I'm not going to yuck your yum, but okay.
They should get the Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy.
Yeah.
That would be so good.
Let's get ready to go to the Carmen line. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, why don't they just put that thing into orbit? Oh,
yeah.
Do you see what I did there?
Was that a segue?
Yeah, that's a segue. I don't know if I can actually share my screen here. I'll try. It might like explode or something. Hey, can you see?
Hey, can we just really quickly? I'm sorry. I know you like already opened that up, but for anybody who's wondering and is not seeing this, like, why do you sound so different today?
Oh yeah. Sorry, I forgot all my recording equipment, and I am currently on a secret mission. So. I forgot everything, so I'm just recording into the laptop, and it's probably going to sound like garbage. You're welcome.
I wasn't shaming you. I was just trying to like let everybody know that you were, you know, kind of out of pocket, and that
well,
things were
and
in
he's
a different situation.
Too cheap to go to Best Buy and, you know, buy an actual piece of recording equipment. So
I checked online to see if the one near me has any kind of like audio. They don't have anything in stock anymore, guys. Those things are just becoming like, we'll deliver it to store M store pickup in 2 days. Like, what's the point of your store if you're not going to... Yeah.
You know where I found has great equipment like this is Guitar Center.
That was
going to
be
the
next
those.
Thing.
Mm. Yeah, like I went there. We were going to buy a piano for Jenny. And I was like, holy crap, they have all the studio recording equipment, like the mixers and the microphones, everything that you need for like, you know, podcasting or whatever. And I was like, okay, like good to know. So... You know, because I always thought Best Buy for electronics or something, but if there's a guitar or like music place, you know, they likely would have stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for Radio Shack to come back.
Oh, I miss Radio Shack.
I know, that was cool. but we have a fun. This is a fun. Why don't they just?
Sorry, didn't mean to be real.
This comes from Thinking Enthusiast at Thinking Gen or Thinking Enthuse One. Sorry, I can't read. Thinking
Genthus.
Thinking Genthus. That's actually seriously.
I'm going with that.
That's... Okay, this comes from Thinking Genthus. hashtag, why don't they just have rockets taking off from large drone ships? Wouldn't that save fuel and be safer because no one is around? Problems I can think of are fueling and waves, but what if you had an aircraft carrier like ship and that is tagged at us? What do you guys think? Let's start with Ben.
Yeah. So BFR? Oh, crap. Whatever it's called now.
Yeah. Starship.
FNA BFR. that was the thing that they had shown, right, was that you would take like a Hyperloop out or some boat out. And I think, Tim, you calculated that in order for sound, because water dampens the sound, you need to be like 100 kilometers out to sea or something in order for it to not break the windows in Manhattan. So it seems like a plausible idea. Yeah, it was like stupidly far where you're like, okay, this is weird. My guess is that, the waves is probably a real big one. And even an aircraft carrier is susceptible to this. Like people, if you don't spend time in or around the ocean, you probably severely underestimate how big and powerful it is. So even if you had an aircraft carrier, and we have several of them here in San Diego, actually a few of them just left, they still are susceptible to this kind of thing. And I mean, I would have to imagine even like a 1 degree shift when you're launching could be, I mean, it could probably be corrected, but probably not what you want, right? When you're sitting there doing the math about, okay, exactly how much fuel, exactly how does it go? Like, so it just seems, it seems like it's not that big of a deal in terms of risk. Even if it blows up, it's still miles away from most people. And there, you would be adding a ton more like variables to the thing that are unnecessary, I would say. That's my guess.
Okay. Yeah, Joe, what do you think?
I totally bumped my microphone just a second ago. Sorry about that. I mean, okay, so I'll look down. It's on the screen right now, but somebody asked, why would it save fuel? And he responded, I'm assuming it's a he, that you'd be able to get in a better position to launch into your orbit because you're closer to the equator. I don't know that you would, I mean, I don't know, but I don't know that you would save that much fuel from that. I mean, because launching from Florida or French Guiana or any of those places, they're already pretty close to the equator. I don't know that you would get that much more efficiency out of it. And it just seems like it introduces a lot of variables that would, when a rocket is that high above the water and the center of gravity is so high, and then you got the forces and the pressure, like this insane amount of thrust coming out the bottom of it, you know?
How would you fuel it? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's attached and just to get it ready, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some of that stuff has to happen, like the locks has to happen a minute before or 3 minutes before or something like that, right?
With SpaceX, yeah, but normally they can sit there for a couple hours on the pad with locks on board.
Yeah, but it's not like you
top it off though.
It's not like you load it up and then like send it off 5 hours out to sea and then it can take off. It's like, no, you have to have equipment hooked up to it, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically everything at the tower, at the launch pad, that entire infrastructure would need to be floating out at sea for it to work.
Right. Yep. So why don't I show you guys something here? Because there's actually this thing that was back in the day called Sea Launch. That's exactly what this company did. They took a platform, a marine launch platform, and they went down to the equator with it. And they launched rockets from this exact thing. this no longer exists.
so it worked really well.
That's what it comes down to. Is like it's launching really small rockets. Like tiny little rockets. Because even a tiny little rocket, like say Electron size, I'm just making something up, requires a lot of fuel, a lot of infrastructure. You know, you have to still have integrate the payloads, you know, tip the rocket up vertical and all these different things. So are you really saving, instead of making the rocket about 5% bigger, you know, from the difference in efficiency between an equatorial launch and say Florida, like you literally can just stretch the rocket like 5%. Like what's easier, adding, you know, 5% more to your rocket or making this entire huge giant launch platform that costs tons of money to ship out there with a crew, all these things. What if something happens to the rocket and they need to take it back down and fix something, bring it back to land? Like, I mean, it's just this huge, like, huge, huge, huge headache for very, very marginal gains. And that's why air launch is considered oftentimes not worth it either, you know, to launch from an airplane, because the gains are just very small. Like, they're percentage gains. And we're not talking, lots of times it's just way easier to overbuild your rocket than it is to try to develop some crazy rocket infrastructure, launching it from a mountain, you know, a mountain on the equator with an airplane on top of it. Like, all these things, you could do each of them, but is it easier than just building a slightly bigger rocket? And the answer is just simply no. Mm. So, and the costs just don't, you know, it doesn't become beneficial at that point.
The rocketnomics don't make sense.
I'll start a channel.
Rocketnomics.
Rocket. Yeah. So that's a good. Nomics. That's a good. Why don't they just? I'll let you write the singer for that one. So, reminder, guys, give us your why don't they just? I want to see more and more of these. We didn't have a ton this week. We only had maybe like six. I'd like to be able to see like 10 or 20, so we can pick some really good ones. It seems like we do get a lot of rocket ones. I would love more futurology.
Yeah, it would be cool to also see like we happen to have some expertise or some knowledge in some areas, but feel free to throw out any kind of why don't they just, really. Like, I think, you know, yes, and if it's a good question, then, you know, that gets us thinking, we'll try to do some research beforehand. Because I think it'd be fun to – there's so many things that you just look at. And you go, well, why don't you just do that? Like, one I was just thinking about the other day was traffic lights. So – a lot of way, you know, the way we do traffic routing in cities, it's sensors in the road. So when cars come up, it detects the weight and, you know, mm-hmm. we'll kind of adjust. Well, that's cool and that works and that's fine, but that's super expensive, right? That's like really mm-hmm. hard. And you have to like dig up the road, it's and then one of them breaks. You have to like dig the road up again. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, cameras with computer vision, which is a study in AI, are incredibly cheap and good. So you mm-hmm. literally could just like pop cameras on stoplights or anywhere mm-hmm. and with some, you know, interns from any college in the regional area, you could probably write some algorithms that route traffic way better because they could even mm-hmm. detect people driving, you know, from like oh crap, like there's a whole bunch of people coming, you know, like I could tell you how many cars are coming, how fast they're coming versus mm-hmm. this way. So you could prioritize it even more efficiently, you know? So that's like one I've been thinking about, it, actually sitting down with some experts, because I you know, I have a general idea, but it'd be cool to sit down with I have a friend who's the chief data officer of the city of San Diego. It's like, hey, why don't you just throw cameras on stoplights and forget all this other nonsense? I know you have all this money invested in it, but this is clearly a better system. You could deploy the whole thing for like, you know, a fraction of what the other stuff costs. So, you know, ideas like that. Like, I think it's really fun to think about these things and, you know, dig into them a little more.
Because everybody loves seeing cameras on stoplights.
They're already there. They're already there.
Aren't some of them just like placebo lights? Like they're just kind of fake? No, I heard that somewhere, that the stoplight cameras, like a lot of them are just fake just to, you know, make people stop.
Yeah. Like the cutout of a cop car or something. They just put it there.
That's awesome. That's a good idea. I like that one. So there you go, guys. There's your new bar. Try to beat Ben's. Why don't they just? Because that's a really good one. Yeah. Yeah.
And Ben? Anybody who's wondering about this, like, we're not here to make fun of your question. It's not going to be like, hey, what don't they just ask? Because it's stupid. Oh, sorry. You know, no, just we're not going to be like that.
We should.
We don't try to be like that anyway.
We should, you know, because I'm a dad, right? So I get to do this a lot. Like, why this? I said, because I said so.
Yeah.
Like, we should have a segment called, like, there's, like, the why don't they just, where we have a thoughtful answer. And then there's the because I said so section, which is, like, why don't they just, because I said so. Stop.
Or because reasons.
Yeah.
Because.
I've thrown that one at my son a few times.
That's awesome. Hey, I have a why don't they just quick, actually. Why don't they just lower the price of the Model 3 to be able to sell it and get this incentive in Canada?
That is a fantastic question.
Because that's crazy.
That would be called
what?
Playing the system. I was going to say jerry rigging, but I don't know if that's
playing the game.
Yeah. Joe, do you have this up on your screen? You could show a little story that popped up, or do I need to do it?
Can you do it?
If I can do it,
I would have to find it real quick.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, fine. We'll do it live, people. We'll do it live. My other favorite thing to say. Okay, so I did have a bunch of notes, but I won't be able to read them because I'm sharing my screen.
Actually, I might be able to do it here.
Boom, ba-doom, ba-doom. Guys, what is this?
Okay.
It's amateur hour.
There we go.
Yeah.
It is this week.
That's what this whole thing is.
We have off
is,
week
right?
sometimes, guys.
All right, so Tesla, as Tim alluded to, is launching a cheaper Model 3 with 150 kilometers of range. Carry the 2, that's what, 92 miles, in Canada, which is just north of United States. And the purpose of this is to get a $5,000 incentive there. So the deal is that they previously had a limit. I'll just read from the statement here. It says, to be eligible for incentives, a vehicle must have a base model manufacturer suggested retail price of less than $45,000 for passenger vehicles with 6 or fewer seats and less than $55,000 for vehicles with 7 or more seats. For eligible vehicles with 6 or fewer seats, higher priced version trims are eligible as long as the final manufacturer suggested retail price is $55,000 or less. So this is essentially what they did is they software locked this and they reduced the price in order to enable it for Canadian citizens to take advantage of this, because there was a previous $14,000 incentive that was amazing, and then the government stopped that like immediately, like no phase out, no warning. It was just like one day, okay, it's done, no more. And then they had some concessions there because there were like people that, like, literally my delivery day is tomorrow and the car's here, it's in Canada, I paid for it, like every, like there was this kind of like transition period, and they said no, full stop, and then they kind of, I think they got sued for that and then lost, so somebody fact check that for us. But anyways, after that they came back with an incentive, this $5,000 incentive. By the way, do you still say dollars if it's Canadian dollars, or do you say Canadian dollars? It's one of those things. Like, is it still a Denver omelet if you're in Denver? You know,
I think they just say like 10,000 Canadian. I've heard it said that way.
10,000 Canadians. So you get 5,000 Canadians off of your off of the price, except Tesla, because all of the Teslas after import duties or taxes or whatever were more expensive. My speculation, and there's probably some research into this, is that they kind of assume if you can afford a car that expensive, you don't need the tax incentive. So in some ways, you know, people would probably like it's funny because there's kind of a weird mix here of like, hey, rich people should pay more taxes, but EVs should also, you know, we want EVs, so we should give tax breaks on EVs. But what if you're like a rich person that wants an EV? So there was kind of this weird like matrix of like yes, no, yes, no. And it sounds like Tesla is doing this to get around it. And it's a software locked thing. So the idea is later you could unlock that additional range and some of these additional features. So that's kind of the story. It's interesting to see how this will play out.
It's really, yeah, it's funny to me. It's like what got me was, let's talk about this. So it's not about, it's not about the range. It has nothing to do with the range. It has everything to do with the price, this whole law that they're trying to skirt here. So why are they lowering the range on it? Just to justify lowering the price? Because, I mean, it still has the same number of batteries in it. They're software locking it. Right. So why take the range away from people? Why not just sell it at that lower price?
Well, because Tesla wants the money, right? So like,
so that later they can spend extra to unlock it.
Which doesn't count as a... as like an upgrade, right?
Yeah,
it's like a software feature, not a I'm adding, you know, a camera to my car that wasn't there before or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So in other words, someone can you can get the car because they lowered it by about $2,000, right? Is that correct? In order to get it under this threshold, I think I read that $2,000 or $3,000. It was pretty like not very much. In order to get under that, so you can get $5,000 back. So the assumption is you'll buy it, you'll get the $5,000, and then you'll spend it on the $2,000 or whatever it is to upgrade it back up to the car that they wanted you to have in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're up like $3,000 or whatever, you know, in that process. So they'll sell more cars that way.
Yeah. So it was $47,000, and now it's $44,999.
It's $1 below the
$1. Yeah. This is just silly, right? Aren't these things just stupid? Can we just, like, grow up about this nonsense and say, look, this is a good thing. Let people have it. I don't understand why the governments have to get so arbitrary with their numbers and stuff like this, you know? Like, do you think someone did a study and said, oh, well, at this price, you are a rich butthead that we don't want to support? Like was there some logic to $45,000, or do you think it was more like, okay, the Tesla's at this much, okay, cool, there's no way they'll sell it for this price, let's just name that price to screw Tesla? Like, I'm guessing it's more, I mean, probably not that exactly thing, but probably more arbitrary than data-based, than like science-based or evidence. Yeah. That's just silly, man.
What I'm wondering is if they're going to like redo the law so that it's, what, $44,995?
Yeah. But then Tesla will change it the next day. And see, I think that's the thing that's stupid. It's a cat and mouse game. And guess what? Tesla can just, as we've seen, change the price via tweet in an instant. Whereas a government, to change a law or, you know, whatever, however they describe this thing, some kind of rule, will take you know, time. There's paperwork that has to be done. So it's just mm-hmm. a dumb losing battle. Honestly, it's like, yeah, keep going, guys. You know?
Yeah.
Make it 35 grand and Tesla will make one that goes 60 miles on a charge. You know?
Mm-hmm. I get you do have to draw boundaries. Like you have, I mean, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I do love that Tesla plays that game, though. Like Tesla plays it right back at them. And no one else can really afford to do that, per se, or have, you know, the flexibility that they do with that stuff, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
This was like, there was a similar thing that happened in the UK. Oh, man, I'm gonna mess this up. Please fact check this and somebody tell, do the right things I'm going to say here in the comments. So it was Europe or the UK, which, you know, are or are not the same thing, depending on who you ask. But there was a similar thing over there where it was, oh, no, this was Norway. Ah, that's right. Okay, see, it's coming back to me.
Now, Norway and the UK are definitely the same thing. So,
yeah. Okay.
They're both shaped like this.
Across the pond, we'll say. And Norway, the most kind of EV-friendly country in the world. Yeah. They don't have the most EVs overall, but they have the most per capita. I think like something like 51% of all car sales were EVs a couple months ago.
Crazy.
And it was largely due to the Model 3 arriving in Norway. So tons of love, tons of support from Norway related to EVs. And then there was an incentive that came out. But if the car weighed over a certain amount, it didn't qualify. And that excluded all Teslas. And so people were like, what the hell? Like, this is the best electric car. You love electric cars. Our whole country is like in support of this. And you just excluded the best one that we all want and are going to buy. So they called it like the Tesla tax. And then I think they ended up repealing it or something like that. Again, you wonder, like why are certain boundaries like this set? Like mm-hmm. I wish – I'm sure somebody has an answer to that, but there's probably like some people that have no clue about the industry or consumer behaviors or any of that stuff sitting in the back going, oh, well, if we do this, these guys – you know. There's probably somebody that put thought into it, but I would love for that to be the story of like, well, here's why this makes sense. And then everybody that's on the outside going, no, that doesn't make sense. Sorry. Like, no. Yeah. You know.
Well, do you think it has – does that have to do with like, say, you know, if it's – we'll go to U.S. dollars now. Say it's like a $30,000 benchmark, and they're just trying to convert a lot of people that are going to potentially buy, you know, a cheap car, you know, or an inexpensive new car, you know, in that $20,000 price range, you know, incentivize them to look at, you know, decent electric options. But then again, it's like, why focus on that instead of just all EVs or like all price segments, I guess? Yeah, I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here in the U.S., we don't have that, and we're one of, you know, if not the most litigious country in the world, right? So it's a thing where, that's kind of what blows my mind. It's like, we don't have that, and EVs are pretty polarizing in our country because we have such this long history with support for oil-based things, right? So it's not – it's weird to me that, like, we don't have a rule like that, but they do, right? Because you can be as rich as you want, and you can buy a $5 million EV, and you still get a tax credit for it. Right. So some states I know, like in California, in fact, the REV tax credit has there's like some weird laws of like, oh, well, you either get the money back or you get the HOV lane stickers. You know, there's like some things like that. And oh, if you make a certain amount of money, you get a bigger tax credit. But there's still a benefit. You know, there's still an incentive. I definitely agree. Like, you know, Jeff Bezos doesn't need a tax credit for any of this stuff to buy a car.
Right.
You know, or rocket, whatever. But yeah. But it's just silly. It just seems like it just seems like, what are we doing, guys? Is this really what's important? Is this what we want our time and effort as a society and governments to focus on? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, history is littered with crazy laws and weird nonsensical, you know, legislation and stuff. Yeah. But I'm actually fascinated by that kind of thing because when you dig into it, there's usually some rationale behind it. It wasn't just somebody that had a crazy idea, and it's usually like in the room where it was thought up, it made sense, and we usually had some negotiation or compromise that had nothing to do with anything that's actually in the bill or whatever. It's just all the machinations of politics and whatnot. That doesn't mean they make sense to the rest of the world, but like in that small group of people that came up with it, it had some specific purpose. But I'm always fascinated by how they came up with that kind of stuff, you know.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. and there's laws that make sense at the time, but then over time,
yeah.
Don't make sense, right? One of the funny ones that my friend who lives in Leeds or something? It's north of London in England. In his town, until like maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago, it was totally legal to shoot a Scotsman dead after dark. Like that was a legit law. It was illegal to kill somebody, but it was also legal to shoot a Scotsman dead as he stands after a certain hour of the night.
Well, when you've been making laws for thousands of years and you're right. not scratching the old ones off the books at the same rate that you're adding them, you're going to have some crazy ones on there.
We need for the Windows people out there, people have been in technology for a while, we need the defrag of our legal system. we have all these little weird strands out there of come on. Let's purge those that don't make sense. Let's just do a whole scale review.
Yeah, there's whole books on that, crazy laws around the world. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should do a video on it. That sounds like a good Random Thursday video.
There is a Twitter account. There is a Twitter account called Law a Day or something like that. And Planet Money from NPR, who's a fantastic podcast, they did a thing where it was something like you're not – it was between two states. It was Georgia or in the South somewhere in the U.S. You were not allowed to transport – a cherry tart bigger than 3 inches around, frozen cherry tart across state lines without some kind of written approval. Otherwise, it's a federal crime or something. And so they went and did it. They were I'm a criminal. And they're eating the cherry. It's so good. And it was from this guy. It says from a lawyer who has some Twitter. I think it's called a Law a Day or something like that, where Funny. He just posts every single day a new, completely ridiculous law.
Yeah, I'm gonna screw this up really bad, but there was one where it was you are not allowed to carry a herring in your pocket or something like that. It was yet there were you weren't allowed to carry a fish in a certain way. It's just really
right. Right.
Oh,
looking back, you're
classic.
Who does that?
Literally,
it was a real problem once upon a time.
Right. That's the problem with laws that are that specific, mm-hmm. right? It's one thing when you have broader categorical kind of things hey, killing people is bad. Let's not get
unless
into
unless you're a Scotsman.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say let's not get into that. Scotsman okay, if you're from Wales, no, not okay. Not okay. Right?
So
that's
weird.
Silly.
It's every so Scotsman weird. In Leeds has a curfew.
Yes, seriously.
Got to get inside, might get killed. Yes. It's purge night.
Yes. Seriously. Every night is purge night. Hey, I did forget to bring up. I just wanted to bring up a fun topic, a little mini update on Starhopper. They are so just friendly reminder. Starhopper is the little flying water tower, basically slash trash can down in Boca Chica that SpaceX is going to. That's they're testing their Raptor engine on, and it's going to start doing little hops. So far, they've only done tethered hops where they kind of hold onto it with cables. They light the engine, let it hop up about, not even a meter. And then it just comes back down nice and easy. Well, that was serial number 2 engine. So far that we know there's 3 Raptor engines in existence that are operational or in the testing and development phase that are full scale operational engines. Number 1 had a little problem out at McGregor once. But that now is back in action. And that's actually going to be the one bolted onto Starhopper now. Previously, the previous tests were done with serial number 2, and serial number 2, I believe it was serial number 2, fired for 40 seconds the other day. Where was that? So they did a 40-second fire of the Raptor engine out at McGregor, Texas the other night, which is where they test them, and then they shipped them. So this is good news. I'm hearing that they're hoping to do a pretty serious and substantial hover here this month. An untethered, the first untethered hover, which would be awesome to see. I mean, this is going to be nuts. When you see a freaking water tower take off and fly and hover and then land, it's going to be absolutely bonkers. Yeah. So I just thought that was a fun update.
Cool. Now, I knew that they'd been doing something, but I wasn't sure what it was.
That's what I was thinking with the tethered part.
Yeah. That is Starhopper. So, it gets confusing because there's Starhopper, there's Starship, there's Starliner. Starliner is Boeing. Starhopper and Starship are SpaceX. Yeah. Lots of stars. Too many. Maybe even too
many.
Well,
whenever yeah. like people who are just like SpaceX haters talk about how much they hate the name Starship, it's like, do you have a problem with Starliner? That's Boeing. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And we've talked about this too. Like Dreamliner, are you complaining that it doesn't fly on dreams? Or into dreams?
It is a dream to fly. I've been on the plane. It is a miracle, okay?
It's fueled by dreams.
I used to travel so much for work that I would book my tickets, my travel, based on which plane it was. And so if I ever had a problem where they had to change planes, I was pissed. I would like change my plane. Like, no, not getting on that. No. It's, you know, the things we grow accustomed to when we get picky, like opening your car door. Like, who even wants to do that? You know.
Well, I guess you don't have to do that anymore, do you?
Yeah. Wait. That's why is that? Why don't you have to open your car door, Ben?
Well, because I pay someone to do that for me. No, they walk in front of me and open my door.
You have a monkey. A monkey that has its own little cage on top of the car that sees you coming and jumps out of the cage and opens the door.
It's a chimp.
A trunk monkey.
He's a great ape, okay? He's not a monkey, okay? Trying to explain this to my son. There are apes and there are monkeys. Monkeys have tails.
Just so offensive.
Yeah, how could you?
Anyways. I'm learning.
So I have a new car. I have a new car.
Oh, you have a new car. That's how the doors open. What car did you get? Did you get a Chevy Bolt this time or...
Yeah, it's with automatic doors. I don't have any photos. I feel like a loser. My phone has been off Wi-Fi, so it's not synced. I bought a new used car. Does that count? Ooh. Is it still a new used car? Okay, so
new to pre-loved.
You. I got a Model X. It's a P90D with Ludicrous Plus, which is like a thing. Ooh. I didn't know. So when you look in the modes, there's Chill Sport. Ludicrous, and now there's Ludicrous Plus.
I didn't know about that.
Well, I think what it is there used to be the Easter egg where you'd have to scroll down and hit the thing, and it would be like, ask you, you know, call my mommy kind of thing. Mm. Now it's just a mode, which I haven't even tested yet, because just regular Ludicrous mode, and this is like, I can't, it's crazy. It is, as Joe Rogan said, it's preposterous. It is I think so. I'm actually taking it in for service. So I bought it used. It's been sitting basically in a parking lot for 2 years, kind of taken apart because it was used by my friends up at Unplugged Performance for test fitting parts. So they make all these aftermarket things for the cars. And so this was a car they bought a couple years ago. And it literally, they did it. It was a show car. And then they used it for test fitting of new parts that they were doing. So it was just sitting there. They wanted to get rid of it. I took it off their hands. It had, when I bought it, under 1,000 miles. So I don't know if that counts as new, but it's pretty close to being new. It has every single option you could imagine, things that I'll probably never use, like the Sub-Zero weather package, which has like the heated steering wheel and the heated windshield wipers, tow mode, all of that, the Ludicrous stuff, all of that kind of a thing, the air suspension, obviously. So at the time, you know,
Does it have hardware 2.0?
No, it has hardware 1, okay. Autopilot. Because it was one of the first rounds of the Model X, which is fine. Because
there's only about a year where they did hardware 1 in the Model X, right? And then they went to 2.
Yeah, I think it was not long after this one was made. Yeah, they went to that. But I'm fine with it, actually. So I just drove back from LA because that's where I got it, and it did incredibly well. In fact, the thing I will say, like, it doesn't. Like, it had a little bit of trouble keeping the lane sometimes because, obviously, the roads get crazy. So I would say maybe the software. Now, since then, I've had 3 software updates in the past, like, day and a half. So we'll see. I'll do it again. But it did really well. The thing that I was very noticeably different about Autopilot was changing lanes. So in my Model 3, the thing is, like, a timid first-time driver. And I don't know if you guys, maybe it's different, but mine, it's been, like... Like, I hit the button, and it's like, and then a lot of times it'll start to go and then jerk back. You know, I haven't done it since the latest round of updates. Maybe it's better. But this one has just, like, no fear. You hit the turn signal, it's just like, it just goes. Does not care what's happening near you. I'm just like, hell yeah, go. Because it feels a lot more like you would drive. Like, if you want to, if you're in a turn, change lanes, by the time you turn your turn signal on, or if you're in LA, you don't do that because that's a sign of weakness. You just start to go. And there's no pausing. There's no hesitation. Right. But when you're like, you know, first started driving, it'd be like, and I feel like that's how the Model 3 is, or at least ours is. And the Model X is just like, I'm bigger than you, go, you know. So I'll be doing a video about that soon. It's super fun. It's super cool. My son loves it. Yeah, I'm actually having an issue with the door not opening automatically. So, you know, I'm annoyed by that. But taking it in.
Doesn't open automatically.
No, it does close automatically, which is cool. So you press on the brake and it closes. Also, yeah, I can just walk away. Like all the doors, the trunk, everything can be open. I can just, you know, start walking away, hit one tap on the key fob, and everything closes.
They're going to get it to where, like, the car's still rolling and you can just walk away from it.
Yeah.
roll out the side.
It just puts itself away. Oh.
Yeah, I don't have autofocus on, so you can't see it. But the key fob is noticeably bigger because it also has those buttons on the side. So if I want to open a Falcon Wing door, I can just tap the side and do that. Mm. Yeah, and it also has summon from the key, which is nice. Which, by the way, I've not – so you guys don't have a key for your Model 3, right, the key fob?
No.
Nope.
You probably saw my video where I said it was a waste of money. But They added the ability for the Model 3 to have summon via the key fob now, according to a software update. But fake news, it does not work whatsoever. So, and I just asked them about it, and they were like, "Yeah, it's coming," because I just have my Model 3 in the shop yet again.
That's weird. VIN numbers.
The engine, the motor issue.
I had.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, did you guys? Okay, so Model 3 was in the shop. Jenny was driving. It's her car. I don't even drive it. So it just always has problems. Have you guys had any of the glitchy screen stuff that seems to be popping up lately?
Yes.
Where it goes black?
I have on this new update.
Yeah, it goes black. Like, that's one. Right.
Like,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
I had that.
That seems to be a pretty prevalent one lately. We've seen that. But the other thing we got was it said I'd have to pull up the tweet or the image Jenny sent me, but it was something about with the power and to open the door to, like, get out of the car and get back in to reset, something about power. And she was totally confused by that, but it wouldn't let her drive over 60 miles an hour. And then eventually after that error, it said coolant low, like bring to service center. I submitted a thing from the app, and it's like, oh, you know, 4.5 weeks from now, you can get a service appointment. Like, yeah, sweet. But what I typed in there, they called it. They called me immediately, and they were like, no, just bring it in. We have a Tesla loaner, so you don't have to worry. Like, and what they said, this is confusing to me. I have to follow up with them on this. But they said that there was impact damage to the radiator, and there was a hole, like a puncture in the radiator. And so they had to replace the radiator. Then the actuator, which opens and closes the valve for something that goes in the coolant or something, that they said because you broke the seal of the radiator, they just don't want any leaks, so they replace that as well. Now, the thing that's weird to me is the radiator is kind of where a radiator normally is on a car, kind of in the front. And in order for something to get in there to puncture it, because they said it was a puncture, they didn't say it was a dent. Because a dent, our car was lowered, you know, it makes sense if we had hit something and it but that next day after we got it back, we took it to unplug, I got my Model X, and we raised it back up. So no more lowering on the Model 3 because it just was, with the roads here, it was too bad. So when we looked underneath the car, there were some scraping and stuff, but there were no, like, serious damage whatsoever to anywhere underneath the car nor the front of the vehicle. So I'm totally confused how there could have been a puncture into the radiator or even any impact at all. So I don't know. And I saw other people saying that same exact thing online, that Tesla told them this. Like I had to pay for this. It wasn't covered under warranty. Other people said the same thing, and they're like, I've never hit anything. How could this be my fault? So I'm not really sure what's going on with that.
Leak? Did it ever leak coolant? Like, I feel like you'd pretty easily see a coolant leak.
Yeah, like not really. The other day, there was some leaking underneath, but that was just the air conditioning. Because what we do when our son, because he falls asleep in the car for naps, and we bring it in the garage and put it on camper mode, and just, you know, so the condenser, the water off the AC falls out. But there was nothing that was bluish or any other colored coolant at all. So we're looking at this going, okay, you're telling us this, but like, just show me the money. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I'm sure they're not lying about it, but I'm like, how would the cause of this be something we did? Because there's no evidence of that I could find.
The only thing I can think of is like, you know, road debris, like a little rock or something could have like gone into the front and only hit the radiator and not hit anything else. But they'd have to show you the hole, you know?
Yeah. And I think we have a law in California too, that if you're doing this, if you're buying a new part, that you have the right to have them give you the old part. So I probably could call them up and say, cool, like, let me have the radiator. Prove to me that there was a hole there. You know what I mean? Or just show me a damn photo. I mean, I don't know. Like, it just seems odd, you know? And it was like $600. It wasn't a lot of money, but I mean, $600 is $600,
a lot
you know?
Of money. Yeah.
It's like, you know, a nice pair of shoes.
It's like a decent set of shoes to drive in your roadsters.
It's like a new belt.
1 foot on each one.
A shirt. A good shirt.
I've had more expensive maintenance done on my car than that. So,
sure.
Oh, not on my Model 3, but on previous cars.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a shame. Because really, there's not too many things to go wrong in the vehicle. You know, there's not a lot of... The motors are very simple.
That's crazy.
It's too bad.
For us, I mean, we were seriously looking up the Lemon Law and trying to figure out if we could just return it, because this was the seventh time we've had the car in the shop for non-trivial issues. Wow. One of those, I mean, if you count this as our fault, which I'm questioning, if you count this as our fault, two out of the seven times were something we did. But if you don't, then one out of the seven times was. One out of the seven times was when I hit the curb.
And what is the law? Like, how many times in one year?
You know, I started to dig into it. I think that there's a time limit on it and stuff. I'll have to dig in deeper, but it's one of those things where, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to ask, like, hey, can I just have a new one?
Yeah.
You guys can resell this or use it for parts or something, right? Like,
well, I guess that's the danger of being one of the early adopters and getting one of the first cars off the... out of the tent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I talked about it with that'd be the performance model, by the way. But that's what I talked about in – I did a video a while ago after I had several issues already happen with it. And that's kind of was my point, is I was like, look, people want to get their Model 3s as early as possible, and I don't blame them because it's an amazing vehicle. But at the same time, you kind of don't. You really don't. Now, me – this is my job, right? So for me, it does make sense to have this as soon as I possibly can, to make videos with it, to explore, to share that experience, whatever. But for most people, I would say waiting a few months, maybe 6 months or a year even, not a bad deal at all.
Yeah. That's the tax credit. Kind of calmed me down a little bit when I was so frustrated and waiting for them to finally get my car to me. It was kind of like, you know, maybe it'll be in a better place because it's, you know, they've worked out some kinks and stuff. But.
Yeah.
I definitely think our cars having to wait another 6 months compared to Ben are substantially higher quality cars, it seems like.
Yeah. Most of the people I know that don't have early, you know, have zero issues. They've had literally nothing wrong with the car other than like a weird software thing where like the screen is glitching out or something, but nothing like what we've had. I mean, I've had so many things replaced on that car. It's almost a new car. Honestly, at this point, they just need a new battery and a new motor. And other than that, you know, it's brand new.
Oh, should we get on? There's another thing that happened this morning with Tesla that I didn't have any idea about.
I didn't either, actually.
So, you know, it's funny.
Are they bankrupt?
No, they're not bankrupt. And to get out of being bankrupt, they are raising $2 billion in capital. Another word for money. $1.35 billion of that are in bonds, and $650 million is in stock. This includes a $10 million investment from Elon. No biggie, right? That's like not even half of a tweet. right? and at the time, right now, looking at the stock, they are up almost 5%, 4.5%. So the idea here is that just rewind back to the earnings call. Lost net loss is over $700 million. That was a big change from the previous quarter, they saw $2.2 billion in cash. Prior to that, they had that was $1.5 billion less than they had previously in the quarter. $1 billion of that was a bond payment that they had coming up and was due. So similar, they're issuing another, now over $1.3 billion in bonds that will come due in a couple of years. Or depending on the stock price and stuff like that, they can convert it to just stock. And then issuing some more stock. So good stuff, because what that means is that bucket of money that they need to keep going, because that's what bankruptcy really is when you run out of money. That is going to be, doubled essentially based compared to what it was reported as at the end of Q1, not too long ago. So great. So this just means Tesla can continue going, financially, shouldn't be any issues. The next question is where's this money going? Well, Model Y, they need to start working on that. Latest report was that Elon doesn't actually have an answer as to where they're going to be building it, which is really weird for him to say that it might be built. Yeah, so, we're all assuming it's going to be Gigafactory 1. That's what they had said it was looking like. And at the latest Autonomy Day, or was it a call? I forget. But recently, Elon stated that it's still a bit up in the air between Fremont and Giga 1. I think Giga 1 would make a lot more sense, but there's probably some additional logistics issues, et cetera, that need to happen. So, obviously, there's much more to the story than that. But, so this will help them kind of just keep trucking along and keep growing and expanding and talking about big investments in the energy side of the business as well. So good stuff. And the stock is up. So the market wanted this, which is kind of the thing. And the market does not reflect reality. So put on your tinfoil hat a little bit when you think about, how these things work. But I think it's a good sign. I think they needed to do it. And luckily, Elon had repeatedly said he didn't want to do it. But he finally... the more sensible folks were like, okay, we need to do this, because otherwise you could go bankrupt, and that's a big problem. So
his argument the whole time, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it that he wanted them to be a mature company, and he didn't want to always have to be like finding new money every time they wanted to do something? He wanted to make sure they were lean and working and didn't have to rely on that all the time. Am I right about that? And so I guess they had a change of heart on that.
So the call, or the quote from Elon related to that, was he said on the earnings call, he said, "I don't think raising capital should be a substitute for making the company operate more effectively. I do think there is some merit to raising capital, but this is sort of probably about the right timing." In Elon's very eloquent way of saying things.
But what's the most cash they've ever had on hand? Is this about as much as they've ever had?
It's a lot. So it's going to be over $4 billion in the cash in the bank. That should be enough to build out Giga 1 for the Model Y, start selling that. The factory in Shanghai is also coming online very quickly. But this is that's a separate business almost. So the funding and the money for that is kind of isolated.
They got local investors for that, right?
Yeah, they got local Chinese investors and stuff, so it's just no-brainer for them. China's such a big EV market, and Tesla, though there are other
battery.
Great... Yeah, just manufacturing in general, So
yeah.
I've always wondered why they haven't finished out Giga 1 yet. It seems like it's kind of been stuck developmentally in the same place for a long... I've never been in it. I don't know what's going on in there, but you see the final renderings, and they've had that for 7 years now, and now you go and look at it, and it's three quarters of the way done. It's just kind of been in that state for a long time, and I always wondered what the deal was there.
Well, they just started working on it in 2014, so it's not 7 years old, but it's getting there.
The renderings might be 7 years old.
It's a big old building. Factory. It takes... I think that there's probably a correct cadence here for how you build that out versus how, because you know, the name of the game is, so if you want to be a profitable company, you have to be, you know, spending less than you're making. It's kind of basic math, right? Mm-hmm. But if you know you're going to have this giant unending demand, then you can just keep spending for growth, right? Because that makes sense. But as you do that, you need more and more money from investors to fund that. And so as you get more and more money, more and more people have opinions about how you should be doing stuff, and it can be kind of crippling. So my speculation would be that the Giga build out is probably somebody there has a really good sense of like how big it needs to be to handle demand, and then, you know, add on some more instead of just saying, yeah, we're going to spend $15 billion to do this whole thing and then it'll pay us back in 25 years. Like, mm-hmm. I just, there's probably some, you know, some right amount of speed there.
Yeah. I'm just being impatient. I don't know. Like, I just get, I know this is really dumb, but like, I see the pictures of the unfinished factory and it just looks so unfinished. And I'm like, come on, get it there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's just,
yeah. I think between, I always want to see like the Buffalo one too, that does the solar roofs. Like, I want the solar roofs and all that stuff to be cranking out like crazy. And it just is a little frustrating because I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they said, to Elon said, this is the year of the solar roof. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think he actually just recently said that they're on version 3 of the design of that as well.
Oh.
So, you know, that's going to be happening. But so
there
is
some pretty big setbacks.
Well,
design flaws.
Well, what it was, well, I don't know about that, but it could be true. But as Elon has stated, basically, they needed all hands on deck for Model 3. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get Model 3, then the company was going to die. So, like, you know, it doesn't matter what else you're doing. So the other thing was that there's, and I don't know the details. Again, someone feel free to add this down in the comments. But there was some stipulations. So Tesla got some tax breaks in Buffalo for this, and they had to employ a certain number of people by a certain date, and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to do that. So they're kind of like trying to ramp. I mean, so there's a lot of other factors involved rather than just designing the thing itself. But apparently that's coming along, and hopefully we'll see more of that this year. I have talked to several people that have solar roofs. It's one of those things where it still kind of financially doesn't make sense. Maybe in the future it does, but right now it's a little bit questionable, I would say.
Dang. Cool. Well, hopefully I really do want to see those, and I really do want to see the battery packs becoming way more like common at this point. I mean, those are things that I'm excited for, and that I can't believe there's not more competition in that realm of like solar roofs and battery solutions. But yeah,
people have tried it. The problem with the solar roofs, when I researched on it, was that they generally were not nearly as efficient as just regular panels. Mm-hmm. So the cost was just astronomical compared to what you got. And so that's still kind of the case with the Tesla one. But you know, maybe the newer versions will be better. They look cool, but they're not even the first ones to do that. They have a great design, but it's almost like when Apple came out with the iPhone. Like, all the things the iPhone did were like, yeah, well, other devices do that, but they happen to just put it together in the best way. So it's one of those things where, like, all of these things kind of already are out there, but they haven't really found mass adoption. And Tesla, you know, using their kind of brand, I think we're able to really kind of push that forward into kind of our lexicon. So, But the Powerwall is like, I'm getting my Powerwall in a couple weeks now, so that's the sign.
You are finally?
Yeah.
Did you end up getting the signature one, or what was the deal with that again? No.
I don't know. Yeah, I think they were like, wait, this is going to Teslanomics? Elon's like, I am not signing that. The couch guy? No, definitely not.
It'll be delivered with a couch.
Joe Rogan talked about the couch.
When
he was talking with Rich.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. Okay.
Yeah, so and I felt, I text Rich after that too, because I was like, hey, you forgot to mention that all the money we raised for the couch went to charity. Like, you make it really sound like, yes, people donated money to buy Elon a couch. That is a ridiculous thing. But in the end, it actually was a great thing. He matched it, and you know, we ended up raising $18,000 for a company called Renewable World out in the UK that helps disaster relief by bringing in renewable energy. So their latest project was in Nepal. So literally, like all $18,000 that we raised is going to help people in Nepal rebuild after that major earthquake in 2015 with renewable energy. So like solar panels and batteries and stuff. So I mean, it was a joke.
That's just
agree.
Nuance.
Yeah, but I'm like, you missed the point that it actually did something good. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Dang it.
Well, now you said that on this podcast, which has a way bigger audience than Joe Rogan, so that'll set the record straight.
Set it straight. You set it straight.
Everybody, our audiences are identical.
Same demographic. What are you guys working on?
My video, which I was shooting before I jumped on here, and I had to stop, so I've got to finish it as soon as we're done, is about future mega telescopes that are coming online, both space and ground-based. Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm excited. That'll be cool.
A lot of cool stuff coming up.
Is James Webb considered a future one, or is that like too mainstream?
No, because wasn't it supposed to go up like 4 years ago? I talk about it a little bit, but I've already done a full video on it, so I just kind of like allude to it and point people to the other video, but I move on from there. But I'm talking about LuVoir and WFIRST, the Large Synoptic Telescope, so 30 meter, all those things.
Sweet.
I just gave it all away. There you go. It's done.
Don't need
that was the whole video. It's 10 seconds. Just like I talk about this, and then it's the end of the video.
Yeah.
What about you, Ben? Are you doing a video with your ex?
That'll be hopefully next week. So for the ex, so, you know, it's real easy just to be like, oh, you got the cliche rich YouTuber car or whatever. But because that's, you know, but that's obviously so. I bought it used. My Model S was used. I want to talk about buying used Teslas. And so that's the premise of that video. Yes, I'm going to show the car. Yes, I'm going to go take people that have never been in a Tesla before and do the whole launching with ludicrous mode thing. And so, yeah, I'm going to kind of, you know, have fun with that. But I want to just kind of share my thoughts because I get this question a whole lot about whether or not you should buy a used Tesla and if you should buy it from Tesla directly or if a third party is okay and all that stuff. Because I have experience with it and I think there's some good little nuggets there to help people decide because, I mean, it's a tough to call, right? Do you buy the latest and greatest or do you get something else, you know, and save some money? So what do you do?
And good timing is now Tesla's used inventory, they finally have pictures. Do you see that? Like real pictures of the cars instead of like stock images. Yeah. So maybe it's a good time to go over some of that stuff.
Are these the ones that you have to – do you have to request these images?
No, like in the listings, I believe. I might be wrong. I'm curious. While you do that, let me know if it's true. But guys, guess what I did? You'll never believe it. I finished my 22 pages about the Raptor engine. It's basically like a, it's not dysentery. What's that called when you're like in a, what's that called? What's a dissectory?
Malaria?
A diorama? No, when you're like a doctor. And you're
diarrhea?
Like grad school.
Diagnosis?
No, like, what's that called when you're not.
Dissertation.
Dissertation, thank you. Yes. Basically.
It's a doctor and it's a diagnosis.
Basically, I wrote a dissertation on the Raptor engine. But, you know, you guys know I've been working on this for freaking ever. This is just one of those that I want to make it as comprehensive and as humanly possible and provide all the context. Because it is rocket science. I learned so many things finally in the past, like, 2 weeks. Because I didn't want to finish it until it really clicked up here. Until I actually had, like, the thing click. And then I talked to this guy named Charlie Garcia, who's he's at MIT. He's interned with a bunch of aerospace companies. Really smart guy. I talked with him for 2.5 hours, and he just let me like, I literally like almost asked the same question over and over. But how does it? And he'd be like, "Okay, let me explain it like this," and then like over and over. It finally clicked. I'm like, I get it. So now I whipped through the rest of the thing. So I'm really excited. So I'm in the middle of kind of finalizing that and trying to trim it down a little bit because 22 pages would be like an hour long video. So I mean, I don't want to do a mini documentary on it.
Do a full documentary on it.
It's basically turning into that, so we'll see. Got a little more work to do, but I'm excited.
Well, it'll be the place that anybody that has a question about a Raptor engine can go watch that one video, and it'll all be there.
Hopefully. That's the idea, hopefully.
Yeah.
I am not seeing real photos here, Tim. I'm calling fake news. Yeah.
Well, I thought I saw it on Reddit or something. Oh.
See? There you go. Believe in Reddit. There's a you can request photos, and I had actually done that before. This is the weirdest thing. I won't be able to pull them up right now, but when I was looking to buy – before I bought the Model X, I was looking to upgrade my S. That was the plan, and I found a newer Model S that looked great. It had the things that I was missing in mine. I requested photos, but the photos they sent me were like green screened and cut out. So you know how you can have like a transparent background on an image.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they did that to the photos of the car. I'm like, what are you? What?
Weird.
Like, this looks so bizarre. I'm like,
they didn't want you to know where it is.
I'm like, it's a real photo. I can tell that, but it also looks like a fake photo. It was so weird. So bizarre. Really weird. I'm like, okay, guys. Yeah. Maybe the thing you saw was that there are new Model 3 inventory cars available for sale now, which is kind of interesting. So they'll have like 100 miles on them, and they'll be cheaper. So
I swear I saw something else, but I'm sure I'll find it right as soon as the second we're done with this podcast. That's exactly when I'll find it. But whatever. Well, guys, is that going to do it for our
ludicrous
future?
Future?
Nailed it.
Maybe.